everyone. Welcome. Amanda Grace here with you today. We have Mr. Marty Grisham coming on in just a moment. So welcome to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world. We see a lot of here we goes when we go live. So it's kind of cute and funny that we see that in the chat. So hello, hello to everyone and to our Ark of Grace team, our moderators. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring in Mr. Marty Grisham so we could both open in prayer. And then we have a really funny caption this that I'm probably going to get in trouble with my husband for later on, but it is well worth it. So that is coming up also. So let's bring in Marty.
Well, hi, Amanda.
Hello.
We're all excited about you getting in trouble with Chris.
Aren't you? Isn't it just going to be great?
It's going to be wonderful. Praise the Lord.
How are you?
Very good. Very good. How's everything way up north? Good.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it was a little crazy. Marty knows it was a little, you know, crazy with Chris's mom being in the hospital.
Yes. Yes.
For me, it was something extra to juggle. And she's going into surgery. You know, within the next week and a half or so, maybe 2 weeks. So we're still dealing with that. Still trudging through, right? Still walking in faith.
Yeah. Walking it out.
Mm-hmm.
The faith walk isn't one step. Many times it's many, many steps. Yeah,
exactly. You got to walk it out. So that's what we're doing.
Good, good, good. Mm-hmm. Well, everything's been good down here in Tulsa. All is well. We've had our fifth healing revival. Had one of the most remarkable. I know, Amanda, many times you and Chris and Jenny and I have prayed for people in wheelchairs with the Reawaken. Mm-hmm. You really leaned towards doing that a lot because you were in a wheelchair for years. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so you have a heart for that, unlike anyone we've ever ministered for or ministered with. And so, but we had a gentleman here at our fifth healing revival, I guess probably around 2 or 3 o'clock during one of the sessions, just got up out of the wheelchair. They said to him, "What would you do if you could get out of the wheelchair and if you were healed?" And he said, "I'd dance with my wife." And they said, "Get up." And he did. He was partially paralyzed. It was like very dramatic. He was in a really bad shape and got up and began to dance with his wife and had just this remarkable healing right in front of everyone's eyes. Just a beautiful picture of what we all own and we all what belongs to all of us. Healing belongs to us. And so that's why we're just excited to just keep moving forward with the healing revival. So we've had that going on. So that's been great.
Well, you know, I call that the get out of the boat moment. So that's what I call that.
Absolutely.
When you reach it, that's the get out of the boat moment. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And but praise God, very happy for that man.
So the caption, this, I hear we got some good stuff today. I got to see it.
But we should probably open in prayer first.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. It's been a while. Okay.
And
it's been a while since I prayed.
Martin is very eager to see this video, everybody.
I know. I just can't stop thinking about it. So,
he hasn't seen it yet.
I'll kick us off and you finish up. Praise God.
Okay.
Father, I just thank you for this wonderful time that we can come together, Grace Out Loud, Amanda's ministry, our ministry. Lord, we thank you for these two coming together to bring the light of your word, the power of the gospel, the power of the Spirit to all of the viewers. And Father, I thank you for all that are going to watch this show, that they will see things from your word and by your Spirit they'd never seen before. And Lord, that they would have a spirit of openness, that when they hear something, if they hear something that is new to them, they will still lay a hold of it because it's in the word. It's your truth. And your truth by the Spirit of God will bear witness with them. They'll know on the inside when they hear truth that that truth is of you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your precious presence even now, filling the rooms we're in and falling upon all of those that watch this show in the precious name of Jesus.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are gathered together as the ecclesia, Lord. Father, you say in your word, if two or more are gathered, there you are in the midst. Father, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh, Lord, to fill where we are, Lord. Father, that your power, Lord, would go forth. Father, that people would tangibly feel your presence, Lord. that the weight of your glory, Lord, would be felt, Father, by us and by those watching. Father, we just ask you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that he died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. That blood dripped onto the mercy seat. It redeemed us. It purchased us. It reconciled us back to our Father in heaven. Lord, we praise you. He rose again in 3 days. And after appearing to many over a 40-day period, ascended back into heaven, took his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate day and night before your throne. And we honor that before you. Lord, we say this day as we go forth, Lord, we just ask you, fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, take all the glory for yourself. You are the Father. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. Yeah. Without your breath of life in us, Lord, we are the dust of the earth, Father God. Your name should be glorified above all, Father God. We bless your holy name. We praise you, Lord, for who you are. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might, Lord. And we thank you for this time, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Praise amen. The Lord. Lord okay. is good.
All okay. right. Now we're ready. All right. So, caption this.
Okay.
Who are we putting? Okay, I thought we could put Marty's up first. There he is. He's back.
I hate to
it's
say
like,
that's just
I'm
one.
Back. That's
good
what it's like.
Looking chicken right there.
That is the most beautiful chicken bouquet of tulips I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, just surrounded by the glorious flowers of God. So, yeah. So, how would you caption this, Amanda?
Oh my gosh. Well, caption this. I've got something on the tip of my tongue here.
The only thing I got is flower child. It's like a flower child or
something. it is a blooming chicken.
Oh yeah.
That's what it is. I was waiting for it. I was like, it's on the tip of my tongue. It's a blooming chicken.
Blooming chicken, yeah. I think the Mexican restaurant up the road actually has a meal called the Blooming Chicken. So this is going to be quite an interesting day.
Well, there you go. Yeah, there you go, folks. That's nice and wrapped up in a bow now.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Okay.
Come on. Give me. What do you got, man?
That was the Purim celebration we were so graciously invited to by a rabbi that we know. And so it was fascinating to see from a Christian perspective how they celebrate Purim, which has to do with the book of Esther and the Lord delivering his people from complete genocide. And there was Chris just in the middle of it, praising the Lord in temple. So it was great. Yeah, but they were playing some. Jewish techno is the only way I can describe it.
Jewish techno. On. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That was that.
That was some pretty good movement for Chris. I was expecting a little more hip, but that's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we were very blessed to be invited there. And, it was wonderful to be able to gather with our Jewish brothers and sisters.
That's great.
And celebrate with them. So, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure they were blessed to have you guys join them. So.
Well, thank you. Yes. Now, today, Marty.
Yes. You had a really great message. Kick it off.
Well, okay. So I'm going to cover one part and Marty's going to cover the other part. And we're going to bring this nice and together in the middle, right?
Yes.
So we're in that window between Purim and Passover right now, which we'll discuss in a moment. It's a 39-day window from the time Purim began to the end of Passover. However, from the time Passover begins, there's a 50-day period between Passover and Pentecost. And that 50-day period for the Jews is called the Feast of Weeks, and it's where the omer of wheat is bundled and counted, which is interesting. And it's 50 days. 50 is the Jubilee, right? What was stolen has to be returned. The slaves get set free. The captives get set free. The land gets given back to the people.
Yep.
And then we hit Pentecost. Mm. Now, Shavuot is the Jews' version of Pentecost in a way, and I'll talk about that in a minute, because Shavuot happens to fall in June this year instead of in May. So sometimes it falls in late May, I think. But I'm going to have Marty cover Pentecost, and we're going to tie it to Shavuot.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. So, good. Marty?
Yes.
Would you like to cover Pentecost for everybody? So then we can tie it to the rest.
Yes, absolutely. So scripturally, it's really good for us to hear, you know, because some people are like, well, Pentecost, there in the second chapter of the book of Acts, you know, it was about the apostles and the prophets of that time. Mm-hmm. But Jesus talked about it. Jesus said, I want you to go tarry in Jerusalem and wait for this promise from the Father on high. In Luke, the 24th chapter, the 49th verse, so Luke 24, 49, the very words of Jesus, and he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but, now that's the Holy Spirit, but tarry in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem, until you receive this endowment, until this you're endued with this power from on high. I've taken this terminology myself as I've listened to other people talk about Pentecost, where it says, until you be endued with power from on high, and I call it an endowment of power from on high. Because people need to understand, Pentecost wasn't about tongues. It was about the time frames of God and this other powerful liberty, the liberty that came our way when the Holy Spirit gave us the ability to function in the things of God and break free from being operating just out of the flesh alone. And so it was an endowment of power, and Jesus talked about it. And so in Luke 24, 49, Jesus talked about it, and then they did exactly what he said. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem. So they go to Jerusalem, and they tarry. The second chapter of Acts says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon them. But verse 4 is the most powerful point of this, because that's talked about the tongues, that talked about the fire and all. But verse 4 is really what it was. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the fulfillment of this. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't about the tongues alone. It wasn't about these other things. It was about the person of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Coming in the fullness in our life, not just salvation where he comes and makes his abode in you, but he's now in you. But in this verse 4, he fills you, which will cause you to have this evidence of speaking in tongues. So it was this endowment of power that the Father God promised, and Jesus gave him instruction how to get it. Go to Jerusalem, wait for that day, and it's the day of Pentecost. It's that day. So now we live after Pentecost. Our lives are a continual living of being filled because we've been given this endowment of power. Do you know the body of Christ did not, you know, the people of God did not do signs, wonders, and miracles in the Old Testament? The prophets did.
Yes.
You only had three groups of people that even had the Spirit come upon them. That was the prophet, the priest, and the king. Well, in the New Testament, where we are today, in the New Covenant, especially because of this endowment of power that came with Pentecost, we now help people get out of wheelchairs. We now pray for the sick and they'll be healed. We now can speak to the storms and command them. And I have done it. I have literally spoken to storms and within 5 minutes saw them just blow away in the sunshine.
I've done the same.
It's wild. Now, has it happened 100% of the time? No. I don't do it 100% of the time that I want to, but I have had it happen, I would say 50 to 75% of the time when I actually had the unction and the prompting and I would step out and exercise that, God would do it because we're received this endowment of power. So where we live today are endeavoring to do the works of Jesus because Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do also. It's because of this. It's because of this endowment of power.
And you know, what's amazing about this is the Holy Spirit, right? The Ruach HaKodesh, he's the counselor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He's known as the counselor. Now, from the time of Passover, that 50-day period that leads to Shavuot, what ties to this, what parallels, is that is the Pentecost for the Jews where they were given the law at Mount Sinai. And what happened? There was wind and thunder that descends on the mountain, right? And Moses goes up, just like the disciples had to go to the upper room. Yeah, Moses goes up the mountain, right? Moses goes to the upper room also to receive the law. And they celebrate that day as the day they receive the law. What does the law do? It counsels.
Yeah.
So then when Jesus told the disciples to go tarry and wait because the counselor was now coming.
Yeah.
It was in a way that part of the law that was a spirit filled that would counsel us always.
Yeah, yeah.
It was initially put on a tablet, then the Holy Spirit filled us and counsels us that way. So the Pentecost is the giving of the counselor, right? And Shavuot is the giving of the law.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
It parallels.
I'm reminded too, I just love how you talked about how Moses went up. There was an upper room experience there. Yeah. And Jesus alluded to this. Jesus alluded to this in Matthew 17, which we call the Mount of Transfiguration because he was transfigured up there. And it was kind of like a culmination, right? Moses was given the law and Jesus goes up there and has Moses show up, who's already passed away, who's already in heaven, right? And then you've got Elijah showed up. Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of Jesus, is sitting there watching Jesus change into this glorious figure. And that's in the Greek word used there is metamorpho, which, you know, change. And that's why it was a transfiguring.
Yes.
He was metamorphoing. He was transfiguring over into this glorious person, right? To talk of the day to soon come. But then there was the culmination of Moses, the law, and Elijah the Spirit. Elijah is a prophet of the old, and he was a spirit man. Moses was the law. So you have these two come together right there in the middle with Jesus, showing Peter, James, and John, who's the beloved of Jesus, that's us today, showing them what's soon coming. Literally to the place where Peter says, Lord, can we build you our tabernacles? And God interrupts Peter and says, This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. They didn't even want to comment on the tabernacles of Peter's great idea, which, hey, I probably would have done the same thing. I probably would have made, you know, can I bring up a hot tub? I don't know, something fun, but.
Well, Peter was probably trying not to pee himself when all these people appeared out of total, like, fear and wonder.
Oh,
so he probably just blurted out, well, do you all want houses? I mean, like, he just didn't probably even know what to say in that moment.
Yeah.
And just blurted that out.
Yeah, I've done that.
I've done that too. So I can only imagine, you know what I mean? They're not expecting this. They go up on the mount and this happens.
Yeah.
And rock their world.
Yeah. So we just see God is always pointing us. And even in Purim, of how beautiful that was that God delivered his people. It's just this, God is showing up over and over again, giving us more of what we need, giving us more power, showing us the way and delivering us from genocide, delivering us from the enemy. That genocide was just basically 100% the work of the devil. You know, how God anointed, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That whole plot was of Satan himself.
You know what's so interesting and fascinating about the book of Esther and Purim? that hidden within the book of Esther is Daniel's 70th week.
Oh, wow.
And if you go through the chapters of Esther, you actually go through the 70th week. Esther being, if you want to call her the bride of Christ, right? Yeah. And then you've got Haman in 3 coming up the ranks as the Antichrist, looking like such a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then when you get to the 70th week, chapter 7, because it says, what does it say in Daniel? For 1 week, right? And then in the middle of the week, the Antichrist was going to break, right? Break the treaty and set himself up as God. What happens in the seventh year of the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist is destroyed, right? Yeah. It's in Esther chapter 7 that Haman's plot is exposed and he's destroyed. So it's interesting because Daniel's 70th week is kind of hidden within the book of Esther. And here you have again, a situation, because it's interesting that Purim and Passover are like the two bookends for, for a 39-day period this year, especially because they both have to do with the deliverance of God's people, the exposing of evil, and the fall of leaders and high officials. They both have to do with that. So we are in this period now. Now, why is this 39-day period important? Well, how does it tie to anything? And I'll wrap this up in a nice little bow and I'll hand it over to Marty. So,
I'm excited.
Okay. Smack in the middle of this 39-day window, right, is the eclipse on April 8th, this full solar eclipse that's going to happen. Okay, because we're in the window we're in, this eclipse passes over more than 8 cities named Nineveh in North America.
Wow.
More than 8 cities named Nineveh. Now, this has to do with the book of Jonah. What did Jonah do when the very large fish bit him back on shore and he had to go to Nineveh? Now, he spoke about, I think it was 7 or 8 words only, within 40 days. This will be destroyed. Within 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Mm. And they humbled themselves so fast. Why did they humble themselves? Because right before Jonah shows up, a full solar eclipse happened. And it scared them because they took that as a bad omen that someone wasn't happy with them. And here comes Jonah right after the eclipse. Wow. Within 40 days, this is going to be destroyed. So this happens to be smack in the middle of Purim and Passover this year. Right. And Yeshua is the Passover lamb, right? Because he was killed on Passover. So the time period of this, now after Passover too, we've got that 50-day period leading to Shavuot. You got Pentecost within there. So we got two very important periods coming up back to back. What should we be doing as the church right now in this nation, seeing these things unfold?
Well, the church needs to get equipped, get alive unto the fullness of the word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, much of the church has not accepted what's happened here in the scriptures concerning Pentecost. What I covered just
a moment ago, that's a serious issue.
It's a major issue, and it's been an issue that I don't think is ever being addressed enough, because we'll have this, a virus come up and we have this thing, and we'll have a government, and we'll have a law come up, and we'll have these different things come up, and the body of Christ gets all serious about this, about different items or problems, right? This is the major problem of the New Testament church today, that they have not embraced an endowment of power. This is power that which causes us to do what we're called to do. Jesus started a ministry, handed it over to us with called the Great Commission. Now, if you believe in my name, you'll go do these things. And one of them was speaking tongues. You will go do these things so that you can finish the ministry I started. That's why we're getting endued by the very Spirit of God, so that we can finish reaching the world, preaching the kingdom, reaching the lost the way Jesus got us. He just wound us up like a top. When you spin it and you set it down, Jesus got us going and gave us this endowment of power. So it's a major issue that much of the body of Christ doesn't acknowledge what the Bible still says. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 19, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, has tons to say about this endowment of power from on high and how it causes us to be able to finish the ministry that Jesus started. Amanda, I mean, prophetically, think about it.
Yeah.
James says the Father is waiting. I mean, just soak in that for a second. He's waiting on the precious fruit of the earth. So we always talk about the precious fruit of the earth side of that statement or that mm-hmm. scripture. But think about God he's waiting. Why would he wait? Well, what does that mean to him? It means he's sitting there with his arms crossed, wanting yeah. us to finish this. He could probably even get impatient. You ever had to wait a really long time for someone to do something? Amanda, have you ever had it? Probably so.
Well, I have to say that many of the Italians I know have no patience. Yeah. So,
I mean, I love my sons, but I'm geared up where when I'm ready to go, boom, boom, boom. I just like quick, you know, I
can shower,
dress and be out the door. And I can shower, dress and be out the door in 15, 20 minutes.
Do you do that to Jenny too? Do you rush her beautifying process along?
It just depends on the item. Sometimes she's rushing me. Sometimes I'm rushing her. But we're always rushing our sons. Yeah. They're never ahead of us. And that was my point. We're always waiting. We've developed mm-hmm. this waiting. And the Father has developed this waiting on us to reach the precious fruit of the earth. But the reason why we're not reaching them at the height and level that we should is because the body of Christ has not taken in this endowment of power. Now, you have, I have, we've ministered together. We've seen healings, deliverances. We've done this together.
Absolutely,
Much of the body of Christ has not grabbed a hold of what Pentecost brought us. The Holy Spirit working in our lives to empower us to do the work of God.
You know what's interesting? Jesus had this issue with the Pharisees.
Yeah.
He took issue with the Pharisees with this, the very thing you're talking about. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to read what he said to them, because it's in Matthew 23, verses 27 through 33. And he says, "Woe to you." Now, when someone says woe in the Bible, it means cursed.
Yeah. Pay attention.
"Woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. So you also are outwardly seem to be just and upright men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build tombs for the prophets and decorate and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And you say, if we had been living in the days of our father, we would not have joined them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets." He's really giving it to them there. "Fill up then the measure of guilt, of the guilt of your father's sins. You serpents, you spawn of vipers, how can you escape the penalty of hell?" Now, those are strong words. He uses, people think Jesus never used strong language.
Yeah.
And he did. Now, it's the first part, really. I read the whole account to give people a picture of what was going on. But that first part where he's calling them whitewashed tombs. So you look good on the outside, but inside you're dead. Mm. And that's the problem with rejecting the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit and how we're supposed to operate in the Holy Spirit. That's the problem then. You are dead inside. That power of God is not going forth out of you in that authority the way it was meant to, working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to do that.
Yeah. You just did a very beautiful explanation of the word religion.
Well, thank
religious.
You.
Those religious leaders that tried to kill the Son of God. Those religious leaders that believed in sacrificing, but literally would reject the lamb that should be slain for the world. Religion is very simply, you got so much of the knowledge of the knowledge about God, but you don't know God. And to know him is to not just have the word alone, but to have the Holy Spirit in your life and to have the culmination of where the word and the spirit comes together. And religious says you must do this and you must and you must. And these things you must do to please God. And the word says just love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Just spend time with him, have fellowship with him. Listen, if you're fellowshipping with God, which is kind of a really cool way of saying praying, if you have a prayer life or a fellowship with God life, you don't have to push 1,000 buttons to please God. You're with him. You know you're pleased. Jenny and I finished up a meeting the other day. We went to California and did a Lama prayer meeting in Temecula, California. And then we went to Las Vegas. And after those two wild and crazy days, car rentals, they wouldn't even give us a car. Airline, every flight was backed up.
Wow.
We were 40 minutes late to one meeting. We made one meeting 30 seconds before it started. All of this happened. And that night we're in a restaurant and we're sitting there and we're just wiped out. And there's a big screen on the wall. We were in Trump International there in Vegas.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there in the restaurant and I looked up at a screen and the Holy Spirit fell on me. And the word of the Lord came to me and said, "You've done well, son and daughter. I'm very pleased." Because we were so wiped out and so tired of the travel and the go and the give. We laid hands on 80, 90, 100 people imparting prayer assignments. We gave so much. It was so beautiful to have the Father show up and say, "You're pleased. He's pleased with us." You know, it was just a perfect timing where we were just kind of, you know, just kind of wore out a little bit. Well, I bring all that point to say, when you're walking with God, you don't have to be religious with all the things to do to please him. Mm-hmm. You just are walking with him. You have the heart and the mind of God. You're in this fellowship with him. When you're close fellowship with someone, you don't have to have all of this all the time of what, God, do I have to do to please you today? You're walking at a place where you know how to function in being a vessel, a usable vessel of God and being pleased.
And I know what that feels like. It feels like you ran a marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes a toll on the flesh. It does. The flesh is at enmity with God. So when you have all that power moving through your flesh, your flesh gets weak because your spirit is strong and coming to the forefront. And so you feel like you literally ran a marathon afterwards.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. If and I could explain it.
I don't think I could physically run a marathon. I would probably get tired driving a marathon, you know, but.
Well, God bless those marathon runners.
God bless them.
God bless them. Yeah. I mean, you've got, it takes a lot of stamina to do that, but that's in the spirit. It's the same way where you build up your stamina to be able to do that.
Yeah.
To be able to go for hours laying hands on people, casting out devils. I mean, because Marty knows deliverance takes a lot out of you. I mean, when you do deliverance, it is an intense battle. Your flesh feels it.
Yeah.
And same thing with healing. So it's, you know, but the Lord builds up your stamina to do that. When you are operating with and in partnership with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the key there, you know, because the Holy Spirit is the counselor. He desires, right? He desires to counsel. He desires to be there and counsel while you're praying, you know, and counsel you on what these people are going through and giving you the words to speak, right? To get these people delivered, healed, and set free. And when you people are missing that part, the word of God says, "These signs shall follow those who believe." Very clearly, these signs shall follow those who believe. And so when someone, and I believe the proper term for this is cessationist. I think that is the proper term for
it. They don't believe in the miraculous in the
gifts. They believe the gifts have ceased. And so when the Holy Spirit is pushed out and forced out, it allows other spirits to try to come in and counsel you.
My.
Interesting. That's what it does.
Yeah.
Unclean spirits to come in and influence you.
Because he's the counselor. That's one of his names. Mm-hmm. You know, the word advocate was used, I believe, in the Greek. And it means counselor, you know, your advocate, your lead. He guides you. It's all this stuff that does. And one of those is that he is your counsel. He's the one that will give you insight and wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, you kind of tapped into the signs and the wonders there, and that was kind of one of my next point was going to be, because when you look at Purim,
yeah,
God came through with a miracle.
Yes.
And from Purim to Pentecost, miracle. He's just a miracle God. Mm-hmm. And some say, well, the great miracles of the Old Testament, they ended when the Old Testament ended, or the Old Covenant. I'm like, well, I mean, we're walking miracles. Because when you look the Acts 2,
that's true.
I read Acts 2 a while ago when you asked me to cover Pentecost. I read Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. Verse 43, same setting, same stuff's going on, same chapter, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul because the apostles were now operating in the power of God. Mm-hmm. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. And they were all had good things in common. They sold their possessions. A lot took place here. And then we go down to verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This endowment of power, they took it. They received it. They walked in it. They functioned in it. And verse 43 says, wonders and signs were done by them, by the very hands of the apostles. Why? Because people needed to get saved. And every single day, that Acts chapter 2 church, that brand new church body of Christ, it grew every single day because of this endowment of power. People want the supernatural. I know so many people or watch my show and your show, they follow us, who have come from the Catholic background.
Yes.
You know what I love the most? They are aware of the supernatural. They love the supernatural. When we talk supernatural things, they're not scared away. You get some folks, you talk supernatural, they're like, oh, you're the devil, you're crazy. No, no, no. The supernatural, literally, you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. You getting born again is a supernatural, the most powerful miracle you ever have in your life.
Creation,
the old passed away, all become new. So why would you look at the miraculous of Purim? Why would you look at the miraculous of being delivered from the hands of Haman and call the miracle of the old much more than what we have today? We, the moment you get saved, says you've been delivered from the powers of darkness. You're having the Purim, you're having that same experience happen in your own personal life the moment you get saved that he did for his people there with Esther.
That's true, because we were set for destruction.
Yeah.
We were set for destruction before Christ came.
Yeah.
We were not reconciled back to the Lord. Yeah. We could not, you know, in a way, if you want to call it the gates of heaven or whatever, we're not, you know, we're not open. Actually, in the Old Testament, it talks about them going to Abraham's bosom, which happened to be a cross, I believe, from hell. Like you could see a part of hell from Abraham's bosom. And that is in that account with that rich ruler that passed. Yeah. And so basically, I've got Sadie on the desk now while I'm talking, so you might see her tail as we as we continue here. But we were set for, we were sold, right? Dominion was given away at the tree. We were sold for destruction, right? When that exchange took place between Eve and the serpent and then Adam and Eve, we were set at that point and sold for destruction, just like Esther and her people, Mordecai and his people were sold and set for destruction. And then there had to be a redeemer. There had to be a moment of redemption where the Lord reversed that decree of destruction. So yes, they all go together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that miracle that happened there with them is just a beautiful type and shadow of how we each have been delivered from destruction. It's such, when you get born again, it says the old passed away, all become new. You become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about the moment you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, carrying on the same mentality, I love to say the book of Acts is who we are. It's who we are and what we do. And the epistles from the apostles, the epistle, you got your Peter, your Johns, you got Big John 1, 2, and 3, or Little John. You've got Colossians, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians. You got all of these epistles, right? These letters to the church. They show us the rules and the guidelines to live by. And the book of Acts is kind of who we are and what we do. So in the 8th chapter of Acts, we see that there was a city called Samaria. And Philip goes to Samaria. Philip is kind of like this evangelistic dude, anointed of God. And he goes to Samaria. And it says in Acts 8, verse 5, Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people were in one accord when they heard and saw the miracles he did. Listen, I got a news flash for every single one of us. Amanda and I already know this, but this is for you who are listening today. You are supposed to be the hand of God today in the earth, praying for the sick, ministering to people, letting your mouth open up, just sharing your simple testimony. Do you know how much power is held in your simple testimony? Well, my testimony is not that great, Marty. No, no. It will pierce and change a direction of a person's heart they will not have eternity in hell and have eternity in heaven. It's time for you to open your mouth and start telling people where you come from, who you are with, what you've got inside you. And then if they need healing, pray for them. If they need peace, lay a hand on them and pray for them. If they need comfort, if they can't sleep at night, lay a hand on them and pray for them. The Bible says lay hands on people and they'll recover. Things will be turned around. It's time for us to do this. And we've got this endowment of power from Pentecost. We've got this. We've got what we need to do this. But then a very interesting point here in Acts 8. Philip preaches Jesus to him. When you see in verse 8, it says, a great joy covered the whole city. So this just happened. He preached Jesus and they got saved.
Amen.
A great joy, signs and wonders of the hands of Philip. In verse 14, just a few verses later, the apostles who were back in Jerusalem heard of what was happening with the word of God and Philip in Samaria, and they sent Peter and John. They sent Peter and John in verse 14. In verse 15, it says, when Peter and John came there, they prayed that people might receive that experience of Pentecost, receive the Holy Ghost, because it said they had gotten saved, but the Holy Spirit had not come upon them. They'd only been baptized unto Christ salvation. They'd not been baptized of the Holy Spirit with this endowment of power.
Yeah. To give a mental picture here.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Say you have a vessel made of clay, right? On the potter's wheel. You have that vessel, right? The Lord molded the vessel. So now the vessel's there, but the vessel's empty.
Yeah.
The vessel has to be filled. So what happens? Then the water of the word begins to fill the vessel and the Holy Spirit comes as the counselor and fills up that empty vessel. So that is a picture kind of what happens when somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they're filled with the water of the word, they're filled with the counselor, right? Now it's a full vessel that can be taken and used and poured on others.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there in the psalmist wrote about how his cup
runneth over. Yes.
I always have thought of the Holy Spirit and that experience of Pentecost in someone's life to be like that, that he pours so much in you of the water of the Holy Spirit that he pours in a little too much and it comes out. And the coming out, the overfilling, the filling and overfilling of the Holy Spirit, filling that vessel up. And then I'm just quickly reminded of the words of Jesus. Jesus said, out of the abundance or the overfilling, out of the overfilling of your heart, your mouth will speak. That's why when you get filled, you have this evidence, you have this prompting, this production of tongues, this new language coming up out of you, which bypasses your understanding. In all of this package that we're talking about, it's power. It's the endowment of power that Jesus talked about. And that's where a lot of people are like, well, I just want to receive tongues. I'll help you. I love that. Praise God that you want that. But I need you to understand that when you get filled with him and you pray in tongues, power will come upon you.
Amen. That's
but
right.
It doesn't come upon you, Amanda, just for you to hang out with. It comes upon you to do the works of God, to do something for him, to have show and tell. You ever go to school when you were young and brought a lizard today and somebody brought a Rubik's cube and somebody brought their dad who's a plumber and someone brought a lizard. Someone brought an apple that they've eaten half of. You never know what's going to show up at show and tell. Let me tell you something. When you receive the endowment of power and you're actually willing to work with the power, you are a walking show and tell of the power of God.
Yes, which equates to the scripture that you are a living letter read by all men, a living letter.
Wow. I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're meant to be. We're supposed to be living letters read by all men.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. So that men should know our testimony, men and women, they should know our testimony. It should be living. It should be active.
Yeah.
Something that's living is active. It's always active. So that living letter, that testimony should be always active in your life, that people see the evidence of it.
Yeah. You know, I'm early on in life, I heard about how we're the salt.
Yes. The salt of the earth. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I see you just said it. You know, I said salt and light, but you immediately said salt of the earth.
Yes.
See, we're not salt just to be salt. We're salt to affect the earth.
Yes.
We're not just light to be light. We're light to the world.
Mm-hmm.
We are the expression of Christ in the earth today. That's why, Amanda, we're called the body of Christ. He's the head. He's the boss. He tells us what to do. We are the hands, feet, elbows, knees, whatever. Whatever part you choose to be, praise God, keep it holy. But we are the expression of God in the earth.
Okay.
We're the body of Christ.
Uh-huh.
But Amanda, but the body has to work together. The hand can do nothing without the wrist or the elbow or the arm. You know, we have to work together. That's why, I mean, ever since I've gone online, probably what, 2.5-3 years ago, my number one message continually to the body is, let's work together. Let's have unity. Let's work together. Because if we're separated, I mean, I see this so much with churches. A church gets it going and they're functioning and they're great.
Yeah.
And then they get to a place where their pews are 3/4 full or their chairs are 3/4 full and their finances are okay. And they get to this functioning place to where they really don't try to bring in a lot of the world. They just, let's take care and disciple the people we have in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Father's still sitting there waiting.
Yep.
Patiently waiting on the precious food of the earth. He's given us all the power, all the signs, all the wonders, all the show and tell needed, but the Father's just going to keep waiting. And I'm telling you, and you're going to say it too, he's getting impatient. The time is short.
Yes, it is.
The time is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get busy.
Well, we absolutely do. And, you know, I'll tell an interesting story. I've only told this once before, and that's it. But in my mid-20s, in the young adults group I was in, there was a gentleman. His name was Nazareth. Yes, his name was Nazareth.
Oh, wow.
He knew the word. Always in trouble, though. Always in trouble. In and out of prison, right? And Nazareth in prison, one of the times, really got back to Christ. He started witnessing to some of the prisoners, right? So when they get out, these prisoners that he knows, right? He calls me and he goes, Amanda, I want to bring all of them to church. All of them. Can you help me and go pick up all these people that have just gotten out of prison? So here I go, get Nazareth, here with the car, stopping at every house, and I have a car full of convicts.
Oh my.
And we're going to church, and I filled almost the whole pew with them.
Wow.
At church. Mm-hmm. And we went.
That's what we do.
Yep. What we do. And I did it, you know, because, well, they need to hear.
Yeah.
You know, church is a place for the sick. So
yeah,
they needed to hear it. So we picked them up and we brought them all to church.
I think we would be surprised and shocked at the number of people that if we ask them to go to church, that would probably say yes. I have never had anyone tell me no, but one person.
Wow.
I've only one person. And he said, when I stop drinking and I no longer have an alcohol problem, then I'll go with you. And then I want to hear about Jesus. I said, well, you got it backwards. You're supposed to come like a drunk.
Basically,
bring the drunk to church.
Yes.
Who do you think is going to clean them? Me having a conversation or Jesus at church? So, so the drunk's supposed to come to church, and so is the lesbian, and so is the sinner, and mm-hmm. so is the person with a gambling problem, and whatever it was, so is the adulterer and the fornicator. Oh my gosh, what do you think it's for? But what happens is we get inside there and we get real comfortable. We all look, we all got the same songs, and you bring in the dirty world and it's not comfortable. And so we got to make this adjustment.
Yeah.
But when you have this endowment of power from on high, there's no, you know, you just, you know, you carry what they need, that you can actually pray for them and God deliver them, help them, restore them, help them lay aside drinking every day and start walking in the light of God. But we would be surprised many times at how many people, if we just asked them to come, would actually come. And here is my point. They're lost.
Yes.
They're hurting.
Yes.
No one cares for them. You think the government's caring for them? Oh, no. The government wants to be mama to them, doing nothing, yes. Doing nothing for them, right? If anything, just creating more problems. Yes. And so they're lost, they're hurting, they're dying, they're sick. They just want someone that will love them and has true answers, answers backed by power, This endowment of power. Listen, Amanda, when we pray for people, they get healed. When we pray for people, they get filled. We actually bring answers to people.
Yes. And they need that many times, because remember when Jesus healed people, he said something very interesting to them. Many of them, he said, go and sin no more or worse will happen to you.
Yeah.
Repent and completely turn now and never go back. Otherwise you'll find yourself, you know, twice the issue than you had before.
Yeah.
So when these people get healed, delivered and set free, they really need to turn completely and say, I'm not going back to anything that got me in this in the first place.
Yeah.
That's true repentance. Yep.
Good. Very good. I think that's a good spot. We did pretty good covering from Purim to Pentecost.
We did.
I'm thinking there's some stuff in the middle, but we kind of, it was really a beautiful type and shadow of how God delivered his people. Mm-hmm. And then today when we get saved, he's delivering you.
That's right.
And let's go tell every single person. You know, when we were in Vegas, the Lord had me talk and share on the blood of Jesus and to pray, because we had our prayer group together there, and we prayed for a revelation of the blood of Jesus for the city, because everyone calls, or the world calls, Vegas Sin City. And the Lord said to me just in my heart, the blood of Jesus is how you come against that wrong stronghold of sin, Sin City, because the sin problem that used to be has been taken care of. Meaning sin is what separated God and Adam. There's no separation anymore. Sin cannot keep you from coming to God. That's what happened with Adam. Adam could not restore himself, or he would have. He couldn't, because Christ had to be sent as the last Adam, second Adam, to finish what the first Adam started. So first Adam couldn't go back to God. Second Adam came, restored us to where the sin problem isn't the same anymore. There is sin that exists, but it cannot keep you from God. Right in the middle of being a stinking, filthy sinner, if that's what you want to call yourself, you can run to God, and he will embrace you in the middle of all of that. And then he'll love you. He'll clean you up. He'll help you. He'll restore you. He'll reconcile you, deliver you, all of those things. Amen. And so that's just such a beautiful picture of when you get saved, it was basically getting saved from what Haman was trying to do, complete genocide of God's people. The moment you get saved, you receive that full deliverance from destruction. Beautiful picture.
It is, because if you think about it, and I'll say this quick, King Xerxes, right, or Ahasuerus, his name really means Lion King.
Wow.
Like the Lion of Judah. You've got Haman, which is spirit of Antichrist, enemy, trying to separate Esther, and her people, the body, from the King of Kings, because his title was also in Persia, the King of Kings. So you have a great typology there of that.
I love it. Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. Excellent.
Yay.
Well, hey, I wanted to share one thing real quickly, because as you well know, being a close friend of ours, and we've been together so many times, the Lord talked to us 2.5 years ago, probably, and said these words to Jenny and I, loudmouth prayer, go to 20 cities. And I'm going to show you the cities. Well, he's revealed about 9 of those.
Okay.
And I asked him just recently, Lord, there's 20, you've only revealed 9. He's like, you get these 9 moving, keep them moving, and I'll reveal them more. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. It's just steps, just walking out the plan of God. So we have quite a few, and those are all listed. We have prayer groups in 9 of those right now. Mm-hmm. But the one I wanted to share with your viewers is one we have starting in the next probably week and a half in Portland, Maine. Now, I know that's just of all of the upper, you know, the East Coast, of all the East Coast, of the upper region, the upper states there, it is an interesting place, Portland, Maine, because I was called away in a vision. And Jesus grabbed me in a vision, and we walked from Tulsa across the nation like a map to Denver. And we hovered over Denver for about 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. And after 60 seconds of hovering, looking down from 10,000 feet above, I said to the Lord, I get the point. Denver's one of the cities. Mm-hmm. He never said a word. And then he's like, okay, unspoken. It's evident. He's going to make me stare at, you know, 10,000 feet above at Denver. It's one of our 10 cities. And then he took me and we walked across like a map on the ground, walked across all the way to Maine. I couldn't even tell you any of the names of the cities of Maine. I'm from Louisiana. I barely had Louisiana figured out, much less Maine. Mm-hmm. Could you be any further away other than Alaska or Hawaii? And so I basically said, Lord, where in Maine? And then I had a vision that he was going to pour glory in Maine. Because when you see the U.S., you tip it over and it's like a tea kettle, right?
Yeah.
And Maine would be the spout. I saw instead of stuff pouring out of Maine like a spout, I saw the glory just come together and funnel in Maine and come all the way down the upper East Coast. So New Jersey, Connecticut, Vermont, Massachusetts, New York, Pennsylvania, even all the way down to the Carolinas, it just come down that whole East Coast.
Praise the Lord.
And so what we're doing right now is we're inviting everyone in that whole the Northeast Coast to join this main prayer group so that we can train you how to intercede. We can train you and we come together in unity and we're training you how to pray for your city. And we may branch off from there and have other cities, but the instructions of the Lord now is to just get this main prayer group because we're going to be praying for that pouring of glory into that whole upper East Coast. So go to loudmouthprayer.org, O-R-G. At that website,
okay,
at the top it says events. Click on events and scroll down to where it says prayer groups. You will see the 9 cities, each one of those in order. Click the link and join the one you want. But we definitely are fixing to start kicking off. We've already started Miami. We have Detroit up and going strong. We've got Vegas, California. Dallas is starting in the next 2 weeks. Portland, Oregon is for that whole Upper East Coast. So I'd love to have a lot join us to get trained up. We've actually found out, Amanda, we know how to pray. We know how to get in the spirit, and we know how to pray over these cities. I'm actually have been shocked at the grace on Jenny and I to do this, to get in and to pray out the original plan and purposes of God for these cities and then begin to pray into it and begin to see results immediately. So it's an honor if you'd want to join us and get trained up in learning how to pray the way we do. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Marty.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for that. And yes, I'm in the Northeast, so.
You're there.
I'm waiting for it. We want the glory.
Absolutely.
New York needs it. Oh, I got the whole other topic. But thank you, Marty, for joining us today.
Yes, what a great time. Grace Out Loud. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. And Marty will be back on soon. As our schedules allow, unfortunately, with Chris's mom, it was a little, it took a week and a half, but we're here.
We made it.
Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Marty.
Bless you guys. Love you.
God bless you. Okay. And that concludes Grace Out Loud for today. Thank you so much for joining us. And we always pray that you learn something. You learn something and encourages you deeper in your walk with the Lord. And we very much appreciate that all of you out there gather with us as the Ecclesia as we go forth and walk out our faith in the middle of the cray-cray that is going on in this nation. So we very much appreciate that. So God bless everyone. Keep the faith. We love you. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. We say it every single day. Every single day I say Psalm 91, the word is living and active. We have to activate it out of our mouths. There are other Psalms there too. Psalm 1, Psalm 23, 34, and 35. Also Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. Wonderful to read, but also they are in the Believer's Authority. There are scriptures from those chapters in the book, The Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin, that I basically speak every single day, and I do. I quote the word every day. We must quote the word. We must be filled with the word, and we must speak the word. The word is a sword. It's a weapon. We have to use it. Also, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. There is an order to that prayer that is so crucial for our prayer life. So I encourage you to also go take a look at that as well. And we will be back on soon. We will announce, of course, always when we are coming back on, and have a wonderful rest of your evening. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today, and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. It is an alternative to big pharma based on quantum physics. Over 40 scripture verses written into these patches for everything from blood sugar, anxiety, pain, neuropathy, to immune system boost, dog pain. They are very sincere about having alternatives to big pharma.
We are a big advocate of natural solutions to help with pain and blood sugar and a host of other issues.
I tried the pain patches and they worked when I used them.
When you connect it to your body, the skin patch changes your brainwaves.
Sugar, this one is neuropathy. I actually have it on, and we use this on Toby actually, because Toby's about 8 years old, and from being paralyzed years ago and the Lord miraculously healing him, he has a little leftover with his joints and his hips, so we actually give him the doggy pain patches.
What was he doing? He was running?
Oh yeah. I mean, I plucked him out. And wow, he's boom. He got power. I said, no way. And I don't know. I said, Amanda,
what did you do to him?
So it's good.